You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 8.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining me once again on Mindful Marketing. This is your host, Kimberly Maska. Today joining us, we have Cloris Kylie, the author of Magnificent, Married or Not, Reaching Your Highest Self Before, During, and After Divorce. She tapped into her knowledge about our inner power for manifestation to write this book, which is a personal guide to turning the pain of unwanted separation or divorce into a springboard for a life of meaning. With a master's degree in marketing and management, she is here to discuss the success of her book and radio show on Blog Talk Radio called Magnificent. So, Cloris, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Kimberly. Very happy to be here.
Fantastic. So, I've been looking over your site, and your book is pretty fantastic. Magnificent, Married or Not. I absolutely love the title. What's your personal story down that journey for creating the book and your coaching and your website?
Well, Kimberly, had always loved writing. Actually, I used to write young adult novels, and I was trying to publish my novel. And then my world completely changed when I lost my marriage. And it's something I was very much identified with, as many people are. It was something that is one of the most important things to me. So when that happened, I started to research not only how to save my marriage at that point, but spiritual books. And I found that most of the relief I had came from those books. So without knowing, even though my mission at that point was to save my marriage, and I spent about 3 years doing that, what I was doing is taking a fast-track course on personal growth and spirituality. I was learning all these things, and one of the last things I did was to join an online support group for people who were also trying to save their marriages, but their spouses had already moved out or had said that they were not in love with them anymore, all kinds of situations that were pretty much the last resort. And then what I realized is that these people were in extreme pain, and something inside of me just made me want to help them. So I made it my mission. Every night I would spend a couple of hours writing to these people to help them overcome their pain. And I was using all that information I had learned by doing my research on spirituality. Soon after, I would say a few months after I started doing this, a lady from London, I guess I'll never know her name because we all had online names, she said, "Your feedback has helped so many people. I think you should write a book." And that's when something switched inside of me, Kimberly. I said, it's true. I want to write a book. I want to help people not have to suffer so much and spend the years of their life trying to do something that is basically making things worse, because that's what happens when you focus on the lack or the problems. They basically become larger than what they currently are. So that's what I did. So I started to write. I wrote that book pretty quickly just because all of the ideas were were right there, were fresh. I actually used some of the information I had given to the people in the online support group. And then I started to learn about how to get my message out. So then I published this book, and I needed to learn, yes, about marketing, about having a platform and how to reach more and more people, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted my message to reach as many people as possible, and that's how I became. I used my marketing knowledge. I have an MBA in marketing, so I used that knowledge, the experience managing my own business, because I have my own business, which, you know, I had it before I wrote the book. So I guess I used all of the information that I had and the knowledge and the experience from years past and put it all together to create a personal development business, which is what I have now that goes beyond the book.
I love the story with the lady from London, and that you won't ever know who she is. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, but she changed my life when she said that, and she gave me that idea to write a book.
It's all it takes is one sentence, one little step to change someone's life, and that is amazing. That's so beautiful. So what was your first step that you took in turning your passion into a business?
The first step was to know what I wanted to do and to be clear. And that's something that I tell people who attend my lectures. I say, well, what is it that you want to do and why? And it's important that you know why, though, because a lot of people are not clear on their values. So they say, for example, there was this man who attended one of my lectures. He wanted to be wealthy. He had a small business. And his main goal was to have a lot of money, okay? That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a millionaire. So I said, or I asked, how come? Like, why do you want to have a lot of money? And he said, well, because my father had his own business too, and I want to make as much as he makes. Right now, I feel like I'm not measuring up because I don't make enough, and I carry all this anger with me all the time. I said, well, why do you want to be wealthy? And that was the reason. It was just because he felt like he had to compete with his father. So that wasn't a good reason, and that's why his business wasn't doing as well as he wanted it to. He was just driven by his ego, basically. So that's the first question I would ask anybody who wants to turn their passion into a business. You know, ask yourself, are you doing this because it really is your passion? And if you feel that, yes, it is your passion, then you must be willing to do whatever it takes to make that into a reality. And we always say, yes, you know, it's important to have affirmations and to visualize what you want to have in the future. That is really, really important, that you see yourself as an author or as a speaker, a consultant, a coach, whatever it is that you want to do. But you also, you have to be willing to put in the work. You know, you have to be willing to develop the products and to grow your following, and to really be there on social media and to network and to meet as many people as you can. So I would say the first thing I did was I had a clear objective. I knew what I wanted, and the things that I knew were lacking, then I just put them down on my to-do list, and I did whatever I could to make that happen and to learn how to do it.
That's great. It's just that first step again, the one little step and off you go. So what marketing strategy has worked best for you to reach your ideal client?
I would say it's a combination of my lectures and also social media. I think social media is really important. And it's not social media just to capture your likes and to have people engage with you, which is, yes, it's important, but to convert those people into customers, to potential customers. So it is important that you have that social media piece, but that you are able to capture their email addresses so they eventually become part of the group of people that are going to buy from you, people who are your fans, who are going to promote your message, who believe in you, and who are connected with you.
And I think that's, I kind of want to touch on a point where the whole mind, body, spirit, and the challenges we face with marketing. Because I think so many people in our community feel it's a law of attraction type thing, and they kind of miss the sales part. And I know they hate the word sales. We all do. We don't want to sell anything, but when you're providing value, it's great. So what are the challenges you think that we face from a mind, body, spirit community as far as marketing?
Well, I would say is that stigma, right? Like if you're marketing, then you're not being spiritual. But the truth is, if you don't market your services, your products, then you won't be able to reach that many people, right? Maybe people who know you, your neighbors, you know, your family. And even though that's great and you can make a difference in a few lives of a few people, when you market your products, you're able to spread your message to so many more people and to change so many more lives. And at the same time, some people are afraid of making money and charging for their services. Let's say that somebody has intuitive abilities and they don't want to charge for their coaching, intuitive coaching, because they feel like it won't be spiritual anymore. But if you don't charge for that, are you going to really be able to spend the time to help people? No, because you have to have a job that you probably hate to pay the bills. So if you actually make money, then you can help more people and spend more time helping people. So it's important, though. Like what comes to mind is an interview I listened to with Reed Tracy, who is the CEO of Hay House, the publishing company. And he said that many times he is attacked. Oh, you know, you guys, you charge all this money for these books and for the audio programs, and we thought your mission was to raise the energy level of the world and to spread the message of spirituality. And Reed's answer was like, whoa, we need money so we can make the books and reach people. If not, if we don't have the money, then we're not going to be able to print any books. So that's what happens.
And we always have to remember, too, that money is energy. So if we can make it, we can give it back and help it move around quicker, which is something I think we forget.
I definitely agree, Kimberly, yes.
So how do you determine your ideal client? Who is your ideal client?
My ideal client is somebody who can get a lot of value out of my services. So in my case, it's somebody who feels that they're not really empowered to live their life to the fullest. So somebody who wakes up and they're either going through a life challenge and they feel like they cannot be happy, or somebody who just has an okay life, but they feel like something is missing. So they're looking for that, I guess, key to experience authentic happiness and fulfillment. So knowing that, I've been able to give lectures that fill that need. How did I determine that was the need? Well, I did it by actually talking to people. Because I went out and I started with small groups, and I would give talks. And it was important for me to listen, okay, to listen what they wanted. And I learned the main things that they wanted to get out of my sessions. So I modified what I gave to people based on their needs. Same thing happened with my book. I based the book on the problems that I saw in my online support group. So it's important that whatever product you develop, it could be a book, it could be an online course, that you develop it based on the needs of the people that you want to serve. And you'll know the people you want to serve because you are already in touch with them. I'm sure that you have actually given advice to people on a one-on-one basis, or you've talked about your book, you've connected with people who have the same, way of thinking, and you know their needs, you know their problems. And if not, then it's easy to get out and do some research and maybe look for people who are doing something similar to what you want to do and see who they serve. So that's another way to start, too.
That's great advice. So from the marketing side for social media, do you have something that's really working for you that you see like, yes, this is a great way to go?
I would say Facebook is the strongest way to increase my platform, at least that I have experienced. And I really like the fact that they have a really powerful way to create ads. And those ads, it's important that you learn how to work with Facebook ads, that you learn how to make your ads appealing, because you could create an ad that costs a lot of money and it drains your resources really fast. Or ads that are really effective and not that expensive at all. So I would say to grow your platform and to spread the knowledge about your products, Facebook ads have been probably the top tool that I'm using and that I've been using for the past few months.
That's fantastic. And it's interesting because Facebook changes so much. Sometimes people come back and say, oh, it's not working. But it's just, if you stay on top of it, it's one of the best things you can do. That's great.
That is true. And then I would say you educate yourself constantly. It's not something that you learn today and then you're going to just put it aside for months. You have to, again, keep up with the changes, as you said, not only with Facebook, but all the other platforms. Like I was thinking, they're saying that Pinterest is growing really fast. So again, it has to be a social media platform that you feel comfortable with and that you enjoy updating and working with. Because let's say that you hate Twitter, but then you make yourself tweet every day, then you're not going to reach that many people because your messages are likely to not feel like, you know, you're putting a lot of effort into them. Like people will feel that. So it's important that whatever social media platform you choose is one that you actually enjoy and that you participate in and connect and reply to people.
Yeah, content, content, content. So you mentioned your lectures. What works for you on live events? I know sometimes people like the speaking in front of people. So what works for you to bring people in?
But to bring people in, I do it because I already have a list of people that I can reach out to and say I'm giving a live lecture. But if you don't have a list, then you can always find a way to advertise. Actually, I'm thinking about Facebook ads. They have a way to target the market in such a way that you can publish an ad for people in your town only, that only people in your town see, so then you advertise your event there. Of course, it's important that you understand that if you're starting out, the people who attend your class or your lecture are probably going to be just a small group, and that's okay, because that's the way to start. It's easy to become impatient and say, oh, only 5 people showed up. No, this is a lost cause. I cannot do this. So it's important that you are patient, and that you know that with the time, the people who attend your lectures will grow. Also, another way that I suggest is to contact your local continuing education departments and libraries, because many times they welcome experts to go and talk about, you know, a specific topic. So look at the current brochure and the current offerings that they have, and then see maybe there's something that is missing or a related topic that you can offer. So at the beginning, yes, it'll be free. You'll have to offer that for free. But the people who attend your events will become part of your list. That's what I do. At the beginning, I would bring a piece of paper, you know, of course, very well with my logo and everything. And I would say, you know, everybody who's interested in becoming part of my list, you'll sign up. This is what you will expect, how many emails you will get. So you have to be really clear because people are afraid to give you their email address. And to make sure that they know that their email will be kept private, people are actually very likely to give you their information after they attend a free event. And then that's how you start. So then next time you have another event, you have someone to let know that, yes, that I'm giving a new event.
And that's great. That's like the first step in building your platform, right? Because we have to remember that it's a platform that we're trying to create so that we're on all different levels of media. And that's a perfect way to do it. I love that.
Great.
So do you find that your customers prefer to engage with you in one particular media versus another?
I would say they, so are you talking about like social media?
Yeah,
or
I know some people, they get most of their communication via blogs. They enjoy going to a blog. Some people like going through Facebook. Some people are email. I'm finding an interesting array, and I'm fascinated by this question.
But, you know, what I've seen so far, people love images. Like I have my Facebook page. Every time I post an inspirational quote using my own images, I love taking pictures. So I've been able to create these pictures with quotes. And I really spend the time on them, though. I make them as high quality as I can. So every time I do that, the response is so incredible. Like I get a ton of shares and likes and comments also something that is important that I've noticed with the social media. So yes, I would say if I had to answer one thing, social media is the favorite way for people to engage with me. I've also noticed that if I ask a question that allows them to give their own opinion in a pretty way by creating a graphic, everybody wants to answer that question. Like I remember one day I asked, what I'm most proud of is, or my greatest accomplishment is, I said, fill in the blank. And I had so many answers. And all of those answers, actually, I found a trend in those answers, and that is that we are most proud of our connection with other people. Because the answers were my children, my family, my friends. So most of the answers were related to that. And that allowed me to know what is important to them. See, so when you ask a question to your audience, you get to know them better. And that allows you to serve them better. So yes, if I said I had to choose one media, a way to connect with my readers and listeners, I would say it's Facebook. And then the second way I would say is my blog, which people seem to like a lot. They like the articles. Oh, they're short. That's a good thing about a blog. You don't have to spend hours reading it. So yes, it's a good thing. I think it's important. Anybody who wants to reach out on marketing this spiritual topic, you have to have a blog.
Yeah, that's an interesting. I actually read an interesting fact that for the coming of rest of 2014-15, that most businesses say the one thing they're going to increase is their blogging. And I think that goes back to content, that we're really needing great original content, so people are going to start blogging more. So that's a great note there.
That's right. And then you can find a way to connect your blog with the other things you're doing. In my case, I have a podcast, a radio show. So every time I write a blog post, I make sure I mention the most recent podcast that I had. Same thing with Facebook. So it's important that whatever way you choose to engage with your audience, you kind of like put it all together. You mention one and the other one. So if I have one of my radio show and my radio episodes, I mentioned my book or I mentioned my blog. So it's important that they all come together and they help each other.
Right. Speaking of your book, so when you published Magnificent, Married or Not, did you self-publish or did you work with a publisher? What kind of recommendations do you have about writing and publishing a book?
Well, I would say my first question to any author is, do you have a platform, right? And how large is that platform? If, let's say that you're starting out, you have all of these ideas in your mind, but that you really don't have a big following, right? You have a small group of people who know you, who know your message. I would say that the best thing you can do is to self-publish. And why is that? Because if you try to reach out to agents and your platform is not strong enough, then it is actually very unlikely that any agent will be interested in representing you, or any publisher will want to publish your book. Because as sad as that is, they want to have an author who already has a lot of people to sell that book. Because again, they're focused on revenue, how much money they can make. So instead of wasting time and trying to find an agent when you don't have a strong enough platform, you could self-publish. If you self-publish, then you could get your book out on the market right away, and you can actually use that book to build your platform. So when it's time for you to write your second book, then you can go out and reach out to a traditional publisher and get your second book published that way. But a first book can be a great way to build your platform. And in a quick way, I think if you choose a self-publishing route, you could have your book out in as little as 4 to 6 months. And in traditional publishing, it could take 2 to 3 years.
Right. And by then, the information you've had is dated, and you're like, wait. More control with the self-publishing, for sure. And I like again, how we talk about the platform and just how important that is to have that platform and be building it constantly to find your basically your followers, your team.
That is right, yes. And then, I mean, another way to do this would be to actually build a platform first and then publish a book, which that's what a lot of authors do. They have their public speakers, so they have a lot of lectures going on, and you know, they have a lot of followers. And then by the time their book comes out, then of course you know, all the publishers want to release the book. So that's another way. But then building a platform is not overnight. It takes years.
Yeah.
So again, it's a decision that you can make on your own. You know, what is important to you? Like, what is your current situation? And then you decide.
Perfect. Looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
I think I would start building my platform a lot sooner. Because what I did at the beginning, I didn't know anything about blogging. Okay, I knew the word, and that was it. So yeah, a blog. I hadn't even read a blog in my life. You know, I wasn't the most computer loving person at all. And now I spend hours on the computer. I know how to do everything on websites and podcasts and all kinds of stuff. But that shows you how quickly you can learn this. But if I had known at the time, then I would have just started building that platform a lot sooner, started to connect with the people who knew about it, who could teach me how to do it, instead of waiting and seeing no results and then learning. So I guess I wasted a little bit of time, but not too much though, because I learned quickly enough that I had to learn as much as I could from other people and actually create a team of people who would work with me and would help me right at the beginning of the process. So that's important, I would say. Find a team of people who you trust, who can work with you, and who help you, take your business out of that, beginning stage that can be a little bit tough.
Right, because sometimes it's fearful, and especially as entrepreneurs, because that's what we are when we do this, right? Is we like to hold on to everything, but sometimes we have to realize if we hand things over that are not our unique ability to someone who's an expert, you will grow so much faster, and your message will get out there so much quicker.
I agree. And then if I had to offer one resource that can really change your life as an author is... It's Elance. Are you familiar with it? I'm sure you are.
I use it all the time.
But Elance is a great way to find great professionals who can help you with your website, with any graphic design needs you might have. You could have a virtual assistant through Elance. So you actually have some free time to do what you do best, which is producing and writing and doing whatever it is that your business is about. But yeah, definitely recommend that. And then, of course, talk to friends or to other professionals what resources they are using. And then research them. And if you feel like they resonate with you and your message, then go ahead and hire them.
Yeah, at least you can always fire them, right? Just give them a shot and see where you're going and see how much it helps you.
That's correct.
So speaking of platforms, what are your next steps for building your platform? What does your future look like?
I continue my efforts. This is you cannot stop one day. You have to keep building that platform every single day. So what do? I continue building my Facebook following. I do a little bit of Twitter, but I think I focus mostly on Facebook. I've also been learning more about Google+. Which seems to be growing at a really fast pace. And it has the benefit that it's not like Facebook, like your posts will not be seen by most of your followers. In Google+, you have a broader exposure, and then, of course, your search shows up on Google. So I think it's a media that I'm actually exploring a little bit more. I continue to do lectures. I continue to get my name out by reaching out to radio shows and to giving interviews, to interviewing other professionals in my field by networking. I think networking and partnering is so important, though. So it's important that you meet authors who do the same or something similar than you, and they are not your competitors. They are your partners.
Right.
And it's important that everybody understands that, yes, there are a lot of us doing this and trying to to help people, but each one of us is so different, that there's room for all of us. It's not like we're competing and you know, who's going to get the the biggest piece of the pie.
I like the word complimentor instead of competitor.
Yeah, that is true. There's room for all of us. And if we all help each other, then we can grow even faster. That's what I've experienced, that the more I partner with other authors, the more people I can reach.
That's great. Any last bit of advice you would like to give the listeners that are about to start their business or thinking of starting their business that's really their life passion?
What I would say, Kimberly, is if you know that this is your passion and you know it because you feel like this is what you're meant to do, you feel energized every time you think about it, then don't give up, okay? Because it's easy to do that when you feel like things take time or that you're frustrated with maybe the technology or just everything that you have to do, all the work you have to do. Don't give up, because if you keep going, you'll see how things change. Why? Because it's your passion. And when you have that behind you, when you're inspired, then all the things start working in your favor, and you'll see how the right people come to you and the right resources. So that's my main message, is keep up.
I love it. Absolutely love it. And where would my listeners find you if they wanted to reach out to you and read your book and maybe listen to your radio show?
They can go to cloriskylie.com. That's CLORISKYLIE.com. And then that has links to my radio show and to my book. Everything you can find is right there.
Perfect. And I will definitely be posting those links on this show as well, so everyone can find you. Thank you so much. This has been such a beautiful interview, and you've imparted so much great information.
Thank you, Kimberly. What a pleasure.
You have been listening to the Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.